the song. And so we are in a series of the study in parables. And so last week, Pastor Saldi gave us a message about that parable. And so at this time, another parable that found in this chapter 16 of Luke, verses 19 to 31. That is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And so let us ponder upon the word of God at this moment. But before we do so, let us ask the Holy Spirit that will make us understand His word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, indeed, O Lord, we acknowledge our helplessness to understand your holy word. It is spiritual matter. So it is just fitting to ask you for help, spiritual understanding. Lord, as we open our minds, our hearts, help us, Lord, to accept the truth. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves before you, holy and righteous God. Help us, Lord, to be receptive to receive your word at this moment. Let your Holy Spirit fill us up. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, usually, Jesus introduces his message in many different ways, depending on who the audience are. Now, in this passage here, we can see that the intended audience Jesus wanted to hear were the Pharisees. As a matter of fact, if we go back to other passages before and after, these passages refers to or link to the Pharisees. Why Pharisees? Pharisees believed that having abundance, Pharisees believed that having wealth and riches is a sign of God's blessings. It's a sign of approval and being righteous before Him. And so it is just fitting that Jesus wanted them to understand and hear that being rich is not the basis of righteousness. This is the context of this passage here at this moment. Now, to present this truth, Jesus uses the story of rich man and the poor man, or Lazarus. And now let us just ponder upon the word of God at this moment, in this passage, so that we can gain spiritual wisdom from God in our daily living. First, take note, number one is that the reality of life here on earth. And number two is that we are going to take also the reality of life after death in this passage. So we would like to discuss first the reality of life here on earth. The reality is that according to the passage, there is rich and also there is poor. The rich man described according to the passage is that he clothed himself in purple and fine linen. What is the importance of the color of this garment? What is the importance of fine linen being worn by this rich man? By the way, rich man represent Pharisees or high priest. Now, according to my research, purple is a color of choice for those noble of royal birth, or those who were high-level officials. Roman emperors wore clothing colored purple to show their loyalty position. Pharisees and high priests used garments or robes. You see sometimes the robes lined with purple, which indicates that they are high-level officials of the church or the community. Now, only this kind of people can afford to wear this kind of color. Why? Because according to the ancient Roman Empire, it is very, very expensive to attain, to get this kind of color, because it took 4 million mollusks to produce 1 pound of dye. 4 million mollusks, it's a sea creature, to produce 1 pound of dye. Not only that, it also need of skill to make it. So the acquiring and skill to produce it makes it very, very expensive. That is why only Pharisees, only high officials, only those people who are wealthy and rich can wear this kind of color in those times. Now, the same thing of fine linen. Fine linen is made from flax plant, which through the process of extracting, produces very fine and very, very white color to turn it as a fabric or garment. It is not an ordinary garment. Fine, very white garment or fabric. Now, knowing this, only wealthy people could afford this kind of garment or a fabric, for material and skills are very rare and special. So, Jesus Christ present this man very, very rich. Another thing, not only that through their robes, through their garments, shows that they are rich, but also the way this person lives. The passage described here in verse 19 of that passage there in Luke chapter 16, it said here, there was a man, rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day, or lived luxury every day. Not only that the robe that he's wearing shows that he is rich, but also the way he lives. The way he lived his life. The passage does not really elaborate how this rich man lived in luxury. But I believed, he lived the way the prodigal son lived. He lived the way the prodigal son lived. Feasting every day, it says there. Feared or lived luxuriously every day. Feasting every day. Spent his money for service, pleasure, entertainment, wine, material things. Maybe he went to expensive places like caves. Maybe he went to, you know, when I was there in the Philippines, I was able to visit Palawan. And one of the scenic places there is cave, okay, underground cave. And so it happened that my wife was not able to come with me. So without her, I'm afraid to go inside the cave. Because I'm not that comfortable with that a dark and close place. I don't know. Maybe this guy went to other places where he could go to for vacation. Cuba, Mexico, Boracay. Because he lived luxuriously. This rich man lived in a very high-profile, riotous living that he didn't even bother to give even a pack of bread to the beggar. I don't know if I can afford to not to give a beggar in my gate having that many, many food in my table. But you know, according to my illustration, I read an article explaining why we should not live in luxury. Why we should not live in luxury. The writer wrote 7 reasons why we should not live in luxury. But I would like to present only 4 reasons why we should live in luxury. We should not live in luxury, rather. Number one is that luxury dulls our senses. Luxury dulls our senses like drugs. What do I mean by this? We can't see and feel the need of others if our lives full of things, if our eyes is clouded by personal material things. We cannot see the need of others if our eyes is covered with money. Luxury dulls our senses. Number 2, it leads to pride. It leads to pride. If we have everything in our lives, we'll be like, who's that king, Nebuchadnezzar, that says, "Look, this kingdom, I built it with my own hands. I built it with my own wealth." And so, it makes him proud. What happened? Number 3, it makes us insensitive to righteousness and priorities of the kingdom of God. Luxury makes us insensitive to righteousness and priorities of the kingdom of God. Why pray? I have it all. I can go to other places. I have enough food for 10 years. In my barn, why pray? It dulls us. It leads us to pride. It makes us insensitive to righteousness and priorities of the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 is not his priority, but his luxury living is his priority. Therefore, is that it's short term gratification. You know, if you have everything in your lives, if you have enough money, if you have a lot of money, you became so impatient. I want it now. I want it now. I can't wait. I can't wait for tomorrow. Let my money work for me. We become impatient. For the people who lived in luxury and forget God, God has something to say. In James chapter 5, if we open our Bible, in James chapter 5, verse 5 says, James 5, verse 5, "You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts," or "you have fattened your hearts." But look at the end, as in the day of slaughter. But the end is destruction for a person who lived luxuriously without God. It is so sad that many people lived this kind of life here in Canada. Now, secondly, not only that there is rich, but also there is poor. That is the reality of life here on earth. Yes, there is rich, and also there is poor. You know, that is very true in everyday living. We can see that in our everyday living. There is rich, also there are poor. Also, we can say many opposites. There is water and oil. We usually call this in our common language, the Philippines. Too big at what? Too big at langis. And then heaven and earth. Langit at lupa. Fortunate and less fortunate. Happy and sad. How about beauty? Okay. Beauty and the beast. That is true. There's poor, rich. And the passage that we are now pondering upon is that the poor was described as a beggar. As a beggar. That means he has no money. He has no bank account. No savings, no possession, no assets, no life insurance. Why? Because he has nothing at all. He's a beggar. Also, it describes him as full of sores. That means he is sickly. He has no medical insurance to help him out. He has no money to buy ointment for his sores. Well, except for the saliva of the dog. That is, which is free. He is hungry. He has no food. As a matter of fact, the reason why he was there at the gate, because what? He has no food. He is hungry. In short, he is helpless. No one would take care of him. He is alone. He is broke. He needs money. He's in need of penny. He's in need of food, clothing, and shelter. But you know what? As I realize this, God is so near to this kind of people. That is the truth under the sun. Not only that, the rich, the poor, at the end, what happened to them? The third absolute reality we can see under the sun is that whether you be rich, whether you be poor, death is sure. Death is sure. Even how many millions you have in the bank, it can't preserve or it can't spare you from dying. Yes, maybe you have millions in the bank, billions in the bank, and use that to extend your life a little bit. But at the end, ultimately, death comes to call. Death comes to call. Life is short. Life is sure. Therefore, call unto God. This is what happened to both of them. The rich and poor died. In life on earth, they are opposite. Yes. But in death, they are all equal. The playing field is leveled for both poor and the rich man. The passage now tells us how they died. But according to my, call this, sanctified imagination, I'd like to play a little bit here, how they died. You know? Maybe the rich man died of high blood. Or we call it rich man's disease. Heart attack or cancer. But guess what? The poor man, Lazarus, died of what? Maybe infection. Because the dog licked his sores. Maybe the rich man died in while in pleasure. Your AIDS. But Lazarus, the poor man, died in what? Hunger or misery. Yes, the rich man died in hospital or in ICU. But the poor man, Lazarus, died at the gate. That rich man. Maybe the rich man takes brand name medicine. Because he's rich. He can afford it. But the poor man, the beggar, you got it, takes only generic or what? Organic herbal medicine. But you know, realizing this, they both died. They both died. Now, in my own pondering upon the word of this message, I can't help but to remember one of my favorite songs titled "Only One Life." I wish to sing it, but I'm afraid it might ruin my message. But I'm just going to read to you the message of the song. It says, "It matters so little how much you may own, the places you've been, or the people you have known. For it all comes, all of this, for it all comes to nothing when placed at his feet. It's nothing to Jesus, just memories to keep." Second stanza. "You may take all the treasures of the world from faraway lands. Take all the riches in your hands. You can hold in your hands and take all the pleasures that your money or riches can buy. But at the end, but what will you have when it's your turn to die?" That is why the chorus says, "Only one life so soon, only past. Only what's done for Christ will be last." As an application, what? So give to Jesus all your days. Because it's only life that pays. Remember, recall that you have only one life. You have only one life, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. So let us give our times, let us give our lives to Jesus Christ, serving Him faithfully until the end. Now, not only that, there is reality of life on earth, but also the reality of life after death. After death. Now, they both died, the rich man, the poor man, and then the chapter here, verse here, it says that they went to the grave. It says here, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died," in verse 22, "and was buried." And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seat Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, the passage emphasized that the rich man's body was buried. But the passage did not emphasize that the poor man's body was buried. But only thing I know is that even the passage did not emphasize that he was buried, that there was a funeral service like we do, but what happened? He was with God in paradise. He was in heaven. But here, also, the rich man died and he has a burial. Maybe he has this beautiful funeral service. Maybe the casket is very expensive. Out of, my gold pa. But then, what is the use of the beautiful casket if the soul of that person inside that casket is in hell? I can see here that there is life beyond grave. There is life beyond grave. That is life after death. The Bible said, after death, there is what? There is judgment. And when God executed his justice and judgment, it is fair. It is fair. And so, the rich man found himself in hell. Because God is a God of justice. In hell were unceasing anguish and crying is forever. In verse 23 or 24. This is what also Luke said in chapter 13, verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And hell, where there is unquenchable thirst. There is no ice cream over there. There is no ice water there. Unquenchable thirst that will never, never end. And hell, where he is tormented in flame. In hell, where he is bound in fixed destiny. That means the place there of eternity people go to is irreversible. It cannot be changed. Once you're there, always there. It cannot be changed. The place of this person. But the beggar is in heaven, comforted in the presence of God. Why, even when he was there on earth, he trusted God, and so he believed in God, and so he went to heaven. In paradise or in heaven, the Bible said, there is no sorrow over there. And I like to go there. I don't know about you. I believe so. In heaven, there is no pain. In heaven, there is no crying. In heaven, there is no dying. Oh, there is no death. In heaven, there is no sorrow. That is why, realizing this dead man wants to go to heaven. But as I said, the place of hell and heaven is irreversible. He cannot be changed. He cannot go there in heaven. Even someone there in heaven to go to the hell to help him. Even the dead desire this to happen for himself and his family to go to heaven. But it is too late for him now. There is no opportunity. Once a person dead is dead, there is no more opportunity to go to heaven. Even tons of prayer, even tons of indulgence won't make it. you know, we people usually pray for the dead. But, you know, even tons of money won't buy heaven. Brethren, only trust in the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Only trusting Jesus Christ can save you from hell. And so in conclusion, this is not just a story of rich and poor. This is not just a story of heaven and hell. But it is also about the necessity and urgency of preaching and sharing the gospel. It is the urgency and opportunity, necessity in preaching and sharing the gospel to everyone while still alive. While still alive, let us grab the opportunity to share the word of God to them. Millions are dying and they need to be rescued from the gates of hell. Let us preach and share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they may no longer bound to hell, but rather bound to heaven. I have so many relatives in the Philippines who are not saved yet, and I wish them to see in heaven. And I believe you have too, yours. You have still a lot of relatives, family, close family who are still in the Philippines who need to hear the word of God so that they can have salvation. That they will not no longer go to hell, but go to heaven. It will happen only when we share and they would hear the word of God, the word of salvation. I don't know about us right now. I don't know, and I don't see, frankly, the bottom of your heart. But as the Holy is speaking to me right now, I'd like all of us to bow down our heads right now. Let us bow down our heads. Are you right now who have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You don't know where you're going when you die, like the rich man. He was deceived by riches. He was deceived by abundance. He was deceived by social status. Maybe you've been attending a church for a while, or for many years now, but deep in your heart, you don't know where you're going. You don't know where to spend eternity. You just go with the flow. But right now, at this moment, you can assure of your salvation. You can assure of the heaven where there is no sorrow, crying, or pain, or dying when you received, seriously and sincerely received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. You can pray with me right now if you want to assure of your salvation. We don't know when our lives will be end. But as God promised, those who believed in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So for those who wanted to make sure their salvation, please pray with me, even silently, genuinely, sincerely, from the bottom of your hearts. Pray with me right now. Dear God, thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty of my sin. I realize that I can't go to heaven because I am good, because I am religious, because I'm having good life, because I am well-liked by many people. I realize that I can go to heaven only by trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So right now, I give my allegiance to believe on Him and Him alone, Jesus Christ, as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, God, for precious salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, God, for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, God, having called a child of yours. Help me to be a person you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for all of us, remember Matthew 19:30, that says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first."